Well, greetings, brethren. Happy Sabbath, everyone, and happy Sabbath to everyone who will hear this tape later. I entitled this message called Freedom from Sin. And the reason why I feel it's very important to get a message like this is, in my time in the truth, which is going on now some 18, 19 years or so, what I've seen is, not only my own life, but many other people's lives, that there's so many people that it seems all of us, to one point or another, as time goes on, we're not overcoming. We're not overcoming enough. And there's some people who are just mired in the same situation or the same sins for years and years and years and never overcome. And they wonder why. They wonder why. And that's the subject I want to get into today. I want to get into freedom from sin and what that means and if we really believe it. And the first point I want to make is that Yahweh doesn't care about what we were. But he cares about what we are, and even more importantly, what we can be. I want to say that again. Yahweh does not care what we were, but he cares about what we are, and even more importantly, what we can be. And we have to realize, like Yahweh says, my ways are different than your ways, my thoughts are different than your thoughts. Yahweh thinks very differently than we do. And we tend to look on things by appearance. And Yeshua said, do not judge by appearance, but judge by righteous judgment. And you know, it says in the book of Romans, I believe it's the 5th chapter, that Yahweh sent His Son while we were yet sinners. You know, that He sent Yeshua down to die for us. And it's amazing to think about that. Because, see, with us, everything we do is conditional. Our love is conditional. Our relationships with other people are conditional. And we've seen that in our ministry over the years many times. You know, one day somebody will write to you and say, oh, I heard your tape, or I heard this message, and you know, I'm so much behind you, I want to help out. And then all of a sudden they'll hear another message that they don't like, and then the next thing they'll say is, oh, we don't want nothing to do with you. People are very conditional, you know. They're very fickle. They change from day to day. Yahweh's not like that. See, He knows the way we are. He knows the way man is. He knows the way that human beings are created. He knows the weaknesses that we have in the flesh. Doesn't mean that He condones the weaknesses, or He condones our sin or our actions. But it means that while we were yet in this state, He unconditionally loved us enough that He still sent His only Son to die for us so our sins can be forgiven. I want to go to Matthew 9. I want to start there in Matthew 9 and verse 13, just one verse, to make another point about this, about Yahweh's forgiveness toward us. It says, I'll start in verse 12. Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 12. But when Yeshua heard that, He said to them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go you and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what Yahweh says. You will have mercy, and it's from the Psalms. You will have mercy and not sacrifice. He is not called the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So we realize that. You know, that when Yeshua came to earth to start His congregation, that He said the gates of hell would not prevail against it, you know, He didn't call the Pharisees as His apostles. He didn't call priests and scribes. He didn't call the richest or the most affluent people of the society. Who did He call to be His disciples? The 12 apostles He called basic unlearned men, as they're called, fishermen, blue-collar workers, so to speak. And many of His other disciples were what? They were prostitutes, sinners, tax collectors. That was one of the things the Pharisees, you know, used to jump all over Him about. Why do you eat with prostitutes and sinners? This is exactly what He says. In verse 11, if you just go, why do you eat, your master, with publicans and sinners? And that's when He gave this answer. Learn what it means, you know, that I desire mercy. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And we have to realize that, like I said, we have to realize how Yahweh looks at things much, much different. See, the whole reason why Yeshua came to earth was to free us from sin. Now, I know in the world today, many people believe the law is nailed to the cross, they say, and they believe that Yeshua came to save us in our sins instead of from our sins. And we're going to talk about that quite a bit. But I believe what happens is, for true believers, when we're immersed in water, baptized, we repent of our sins, and we start that new life. You know, when you come out of that water crystal clear, and I've heard ministers say many times, You know, to a newly baptized person, how does it feel to be completely clean? And I wonder, do we really feel we're completely clean? Do we really feel we're forgiven? And I think that's the problem, that people don't accept the forgiveness of Yahweh. They just don't accept it. See, Yahweh forgives us, but we don't want to forgive ourselves. And a lot of times we don't want to forgive others. And you know how one way we can know this? When we look around and we see so many people who don't forgive anybody. We see people getting offended over the littlest things. We see people holding grudges, even with family members, sometimes for years and years and years, over the littlest things. And what does it say in the book of Luke? He who is forgiven much has much love. And boy, today there's very little love. And what does that tell you? It tells us that we are not embracing the power of the forgiveness that Yeshua Messiah did for us. We're not embracing it. I mean, this is the core of the good news message that not only Yeshua brought, but the apostles and Paul and everybody from there. The core of the message was forgiveness of sins. Now, granted, it was centered around Torah, but they already knew the Torah. You know, in first century Judea, Torah didn't have to be preached by Paul. Torah didn't have to be preached by Peter or the apostles. I mean, all the early believers were all Hebrew, Israelite. They already knew the Torah in and out from the day. Just like he said to Timothy, you know, the Holy Scriptures that you knew from the time you were a boy. But this concept of cleanness, this concept of forgiveness, this concept of Yahweh bringing His only Son to earth to die as a substitute for our sins was brand new to people. And it was something that was greatly misunderstood. Let's go to the book of Philippians. Let's go to Philippians, the third chapter. And let's see what Paul says about moving ahead. Because, brethren, when we repent of our sins, and Yahweh forgives us, like I said, we have to move on from that point. You cannot live in guilt. You cannot keep, and that's the reason, if you live in guilt, you'll go right back to your old sins again. You have to accept His forgiveness and move on. Philippians 3, in verse 12, it says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Yeshua Messiah. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, in reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Yahweh in Yeshua Messiah. That's what Paul's advice to us was. You know, he says, he doesn't look at the things behind. Now, this is a man who, remember, was killing believers. He was literally killing believers, supporting it, going from house to house. You know, seizing the possessions of believers. And then Yeshua opened up his mind to the truth. But he didn't live in guilt for the next 20 years. He didn't live in this woe is me. He didn't have all this sorrowful guilt. What he did was, he went out and he showed the evidence of his faith by the works that he did. He walked the walk and not just talked the talk. He was a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Let's go to Psalms 103. Go to one more scripture on this. Psalms 103, starting in the 8th verse. Psalm 103, starting in verse 8. It says, Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and of much mercy. He will not always chasten, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not done to us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to above the earth. So is His mercy mighty over those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As the pity of a father over his sons, so Yahweh pities those who fear Him. For He knows how we are made, remembering that we are dust. Do we concept that? Do we grasp the reality of that? And I think what the problem is, that many believers, when they repent of their sins and they're immersed, I don't believe they really understand what grace is. I don't believe they really understand unmerited pardon. Number one, the first thing to understanding grace is we have to understand how weak we are. We have to understand that every one of us is a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh. But you know what? In order to believe that, We have to realize how frail we are. And we're living in such a prideful age, more than ever before. It's one of the things that Timothy says in the end time, of pride and arrogance and selfishness. And because of that, we don't want to look weak to people. We're living in a world of TV and internet, and everyone in the world seems to know our life. There's not probably a person who's born who, somewhere or another, isn't on some kind of internet file somewhere. And because of that, we don't want to look weak. So what do? We cover over our weaknesses instead of repenting of them. We cover them over. We don't want to bring them to light. We don't want to confess our sins because we don't want to look weak to other people. And then when we do that, what we're doing is we're holding back the grace of Yahweh. We're holding back that freedom that comes from forgiveness. And then you know what happens? Because we're holding back, when He forgives us, when He puts our sins from the east to the west, we go home and we don't believe it. And we live in the guilt, and we continue to sin, and we continue to hide it, and we wonder, why isn't anything ever changing? Why isn't anything ever changing? These are some powerful scriptures here. What we have to realize is that when Yahweh tells us, if we repent, He will forgive us, He means it. He means it. And once we truly repent of that sin and we put it behind us, we have to move on. You cannot live in guilt. You have to trust Him at His word. That He's not like human beings. You know what human beings do? We have an argument with somebody. We talk it out afterwards. We give forgiveness. And then what happens? Do we move on from there? No. Most of the time we do is every time something else comes up, we say, well, remember the time you did this? Well, remember when you did this? We want to keep bringing up the past. And we did before. Let's go to Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. And let's see about what Yahweh says about forgiving us. See, because Yahweh is not double-minded the way most people are. And when Yahweh says He forgives us, He means it. He truly means it. Jeremiah 18 and verse 7 said, the evil that I thought to do to it, and the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my eye, not to obey my voice, then I will repent of the good which I said to do to it. See, this is the way Yahweh is. Yahweh judges righteous judgment. And it doesn't matter how good you were before. If you turn from that goodness and you start doing wickedness, you're going to suffer the penalty. And it doesn't matter how wicked you were before. If you turn from your wickedness and start obeying Him, He will forgive you. And I'm sure when you look, just like the woman who was caught in adultery, and they brought her before Yeshua. And what did they say? This woman right in the very act. And what did He say? You without, and many believe it's that sin, cast the first stone. And I believe He probably was, when He was writing on the ground, was probably writing the names of all the people that all the ones who were ready to condemn her was committing adultery with. And that's what Paul says. Who are you to judge your brother when you do the very same things? And now Yeshua didn't turn and condone her sin. He didn't say, I'm saving you in your sin. I'm dying so you can continue to commit adultery. He said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, they're all gone. And He said, neither do I accuse you, but go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you. Go and sin no more. See, He freed her from the bondage that her adultery was bringing. But now what she does with that freedom, now it's up to her. And that's where the Torah comes in. See, the Torah is not there to give us eternal life. You know, the law was given by Moses, it says in John 1, but grace in truth was given through Yeshua Messiah. See, Yeshua came to give us eternal life. But once we have the eternal life, once we're freed from sin, now is where the Torah comes in. Now what we do with that freedom depends on whether we keep it or not. And we're going to see that in a little while. Because remember what it says, you are the slave of what you obey. Either sin to death or righteousness to eternal life. So just because you've been set free, doesn't mean you're going to continue to stay free. Acts the second chapter. Acts 2. Acts the second chapter. Just a couple of verses here. Acts 2 and verse 37. Acts 2 and verse 37. And this is the sermon that Peter gave, if we remember, on the day of Shavuot, Pentecost. And he told them how they took the Messiah, Yeshua, who fulfilled all these scriptures, and they hung him on the tree, and the people were pricked in their heart. In verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and your children, and unto all that are far off, as many as Yahweh or Elohim shall call. See, what they were told to do is repent and believe. Repent and believe. And, you know, I'm talking about mostly here the freedom that Yeshua's blood has given us. But do we give each other that same freedom? When we make mistakes to each other, do we hold grudges against our brother? When clearly Scripture says, you know, if you bring a gift before Yahweh and you have something against your brother, leave your gift and go make amends with your brother, then come and bring your gift to the altar. The daily prayer that Yeshua told His disciples every day to pray. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. For if you do not forgive someone else their sin, your Heavenly Father will not forgive your sin. How many still hold grudges? They hold grudges. Some of them, like I said, 10, 20, 30 years. Some of them go to their grave holding grudges. And they're holding back the freedom. They're holding back the freedom. Their own freedom. They're only hurting themselves. Brethren, you got to... I can't stress this point enough. Like it said in Psalm 103. That when you repent to Yahweh, no matter what the sin is, it can be the simplest thing of stealing 5 cents, you know, from the candy jar, to the biggest thing of even murdering somebody. It doesn't matter. Whatever you did. See, sin is sin to Yahweh. All unrighteousness is sin. And Yahweh doesn't look the way people do and say, oh, you know what? Well, his sin was worse than his sin. All sin is unrighteousness. All of us are filthy sinners to him before his eyes. But what we have to realize is once you repent, no matter what it was, that sin is forgiven. The sin is forgiven. You cannot live in guilt because you know what you're doing? If you're living in guilt, what you're saying is, Yeshua's blood wasn't good enough to forgive this sin. Oh, you know something? If I would have just told a little white lie, yeah, Yeshua's blood could have covered that. But it could never cover this. Oh, it couldn't cover this. Be honest with yourself. Is there a sin in this world that the blood of Yeshua can't cover? That the blood of the Son of Yahweh can't cover? Of course not. Of course not. Let's go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And we're going to start in verse 11. Hebrews 9, and starting in verse 11. It says, but the Messiah, having appeared as a high priest of the coming good things, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, nor through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered once for all into the holies, having procured everlasting redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those having been defiled, sanctifies the purity of the flesh, by how much more the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to Yahweh, will purify your conscience from dead works for the serving of the living Elohim. And I ask again, what sin could you do that his blood would not cover? See, it doesn't mean when we do something wrong we shouldn't feel guilt. You know, that's why we repent. If we didn't have guilt, we would never repent. But once you repent, you know, that's the first thing that comes in. You do something unwittingly. And again, let me make the point I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about willful sinning. I'm not talking about practicing sin. I'm not talking about living in sin willfully. I'm talking about sins that happen to all of us. You know, we all do things wrong. That even after baptism, none of us are perfect. It could be an argument with your wife. It could be getting mad at somebody. It could be anything. It could be anything. But the point is, I believe the reason why people are not overcoming is they're living in this guilt. They're living in the guilt. Because instead of confessing it, repenting, replacing the act with something good, and moving on, they're suppressing the guilt. They're hiding it inside. and they're not letting their consciences be cleared. They're not letting the consciences be cleared. And this scripture is a powerful scripture. Think about it. If the blood, if the killing of bulls and goats and the blood of a heifer sanctified the people to the forgiveness of sins in the old, how much more should the blood of Messiah clear our conscience? And not just to clear it from not being guilty, but clear it unto good works. Like he says here, purify your conscience from dead works for the serving of the living Elohim. See, that's what grace is all about. Grace is not only just unmerited pardon that we don't deserve, but you feel so unwarranted, unmerited to get this, that you want to give back so bad. You feel so helpless that 100% you didn't deserve the grace that Yahweh gave you, that you want to so bad go out there now and serve others. And that's the greatest way. You want to show Yahweh your appreciation for sending His Son to die for you and have your sins forgiven? Then go out and serve somebody else. That's the way you show His appreciation. And today, many people think they're going to show His appreciation by being stringent Pharisees, by going way above the letter than anybody else, and isolating everybody in the world by their rigid beliefs. And that's going to be pleasing to Yahweh. And cut off the whole world and serve nobody and hide in your little corner and see how, you know, righteous you are in your own eyes. That's not pleasing to Yahweh. You want to be pleasing to Yahweh? And you want to show Him the appreciation for the sacrifice His Son did? Then take that freedom. Take that whiteness. Take that purity. When you get off your hands and knees and you're clean, and go out and serve now. Serve in newness of life. Help the widow. Help the fatherless. That's pure religion before Yahweh. Help the person in their affliction. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go out there and look for that homeless person. Look for the brother in need. Look for the sister that just lost a loved one that's hurting. Look for the family that's struggling, you know, that needs an arm on their shoulder and a little bit of support. We need to seek out. Seeking you shall find, asking the door will be open. Seek out these situations. I hear people say to me sometimes, where can I serve? What can I do? Open your eyes, look around. There's a million ways to serve out there. There's a million ways. A million people in need. We are in such a lost world, a world of sorrow. You know, we're at just about the inkling, the end. We're 1 minute to midnight in a 6,000-year plan of Yahweh before Yeshua returns and His kingdom comes. And the world is in vast chaos. Vast chaos. We're just about to the point where the world is out of hope. You know what the Bible says? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And you know what happens when all hope is gone? People get desperate. And that's just about the point where our desperation... We're almost there to start seeing people jump out of windows like the 29 stock market crash. And 10 times worse than that we're going to see. We have to take this wonderful, wonderful, beautiful gift of forgiveness that the Father's given us. And we have to use it to His glory. We have to use it to His glory. Because like I said, Yeshua frees us. But what we do with that freedom, that's our choice. We still have free will. That's our choice. Are we going to serve Him? Are we going to glorify Him by the freedom He's given us? Are we going to go like the pig to the soul, right back to the mire that we came out of? Hebrews 10. Hebrews the 10th chapter, starting in verse 14. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 14. Says, for by one offering He has perfected in perpetuity the ones being sanctified. Talking about Yeshua. One offering. He's perfected in perpetuity, ongoing. It's not a. He doesn't have to do it every day. One offering for all time, He perfected. And the Holy Spirit witnesses to us also, for after having said before, this is the covenant, which I will covenant with them after those days, saith Yahweh, giving my laws on their hearts, and I will write them on their minds, and I will not at all still remember their sins and their lawless deeds. But where forgiveness of these is, there is no longer offering concerning sin. We get that. Why did Yeshua only have to do one sacrifice? Because once forgiveness is there, there's no longer offering concerning sins. If by some miracle of Yahweh, the Jews ever built a temple in Jerusalem? Why wouldn't we have to go and offer lambs and goats on the altar? Because we've already been forgiven. And like it says here, once there's forgiveness of these, there's no longer offering required. Do we realize that? Do we realize the awesome gift of forgiveness? I think sometimes, I just think we can't. It's just like we talked about, me and my wife recently. You know, we have this trip coming up to Kenya in a couple of weeks. And I said, I've been in poor countries. We've been in Honduras and South America and these places. I've seen poor people. I see it on TV. I've met them. I know them. But you know something? We've been in tight situations, but I've never been like that. I've never grown up in a third world country. I can't know what they're going through. I've never suffered day in and day out for weeks on end without food. How on earth can I know exactly what they're going through? I can't. I can't know exactly what they're going through. But I know one thing. I know it ain't good, and I know I can help them. And that's the thing that we have to look at. We have to look at that when we're forgiven, when our sins are forgiven, and we're coming, do we really realize that? And like I said, in the world where so many of us have grown up with a silver or gold spoon in our mouth, does it really make sense to us? Do we really comprehend what that means, that our sins are forgiven? Do we comprehend the road we were going? Every one of us, we were going down to the lake of fire. And brethren, believe it or not, many believers today are still on that road. Because if your sins have not been forgiven, and if you haven't truly repented, and if you're not under the covenant of grace, there's only one word way to go. Down. And it's a scary thought. And I don't know, you know, we tend to always put ourselves in the good camp. You know, I'm one of the 144,000, I'm the bride, I'm going to be here, I'm the protected one. But does it ever cross our mind? Do we ever think to ourselves, you know something? Maybe I'm going to go to the lake of fire. Did it ever cross your mind before you were converted? Does it cross your mind now that if you didn't repent, that if Yeshua's blood didn't cover your sins, that's where you'd be? No doubt about it. Without repentance and forgiveness, there's only one other avenue. The lake of fire. Eternal death. That's it. And do we realize that He's taken us from death to life? Do we realize that suffering, that beating, the terrible, terrible beating that He took on that Passover day for us was that we can go from death to life? And we've crossed that bridge. And like I said, there's no reason to feel guilt now. Now we have to go on in newness of life and serve Him. Let's go to Colossians 2. Just want to go over one more scripture on this. In Colossians, the second chapter. Colossians 2, verse 14. It's talking about Yeshua's sacrifice. So it says, blotting out the handwriting in the ordinances against us, which were contrary to us, even He has taken it out of the midst, nailing it to the stake. Blotting out the handwriting in the ordinance against us. And literally that word in the Greek means the legal code of debt. Blocking out the legal code of debt in the ordinances against us, which were contrary to us, even He has taken out of the midst, nailing it to the stake. Some people have said, you know, this is the law is nailed to the cross, but that is not what this is saying at all. Do you know in ancient Israel, when a man would be impaled or crucified and put on a tree or a stake, that they would put his death sentence on top of him. And it was a legal contract. The same way if you were to go to a bank and borrow money to buy a house. You borrow $50,000, the bank owns the deed to your house until you pay back that $50,000. Every one of us by sinning, every one of us has broken Yahweh's eternal law. And we have a legal debt to pay. That's no joke. That's no game. Every one of us have lived, and it's appointed to all men once to die, and then the judgment. And every single person, from Adam to put your name in there today, will stand before His judgment seat. And every one of us, whether we lied, whether we stole, whether we broke a Sabbath day, whether we coveted, whatever the commandment is that we broke, we are going to stand there, and there's going to be a legal code of debt that says, so-and-so, your name, you were guilty of this crime. And the penalty is death. That's not an analogy. This is real. This is reality. This is the position that every human being will stand under. And this is what Yeshua took. He took our legal document of sin, whatever it is that we did, and He paid the penalty on that tree. He paid the penalty for that. And He did it while we were yet sinners. Because Yahweh and Yeshua have unconditional love for us. Because like I said, they don't see what we were. They see what we are, and most important, they see what we can become. And brethren, we take that far too lightly. Far too lightly. You know, like I said, in the world, the churches of today, the whole born again movement, you know, you'll hear people, we went to this, you know, tent meeting or whatever, convention, and 10,000 people came to Jesus in one night. Well, what do they mean by that? What do they mean? That they accepted Him as His personal Lord and Savior. What does that mean? If we're not a doer of the Word, if you don't truly repent of your sins and turn from them, if you don't truly accept His sacrifice and believe, see, if you walk out there and you still have guilt after you said you accept that, you can't believe it then. Because His Word says that sacrifice covers everything. Every sin, every wrong thought, every wrong action, every guilt, it covers everything. He did it once and for all to make our slate clean. And like I said, it wasn't so we can go back to the same acts. He did that so we can walk in newness of life and serve Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's why He sent the Spirit to us. He sent the Spirit to us so that now our mind would think differently. Where without the Spirit, like Romans 8 says, we had hatred toward Yahweh's law. But now with the Spirit, it's changed our heart. It's changed our heart. It makes us love His law and want to obey Him. And like I said, the very definition of grace is not only the unmerited pardon, but it's the ability to want to give back. You want to share it with others. You want to do good. You want to be a slave to Yeshua and sacrifice your whole life to Him. And I'll tell you, brethren, guilt will cause you not to overcome. Without a doubt, guilt will cause you not to overcome. The woe is me syndrome. Woe is me. Self-pity is of the devil. It really is of the devil. You know, people say, oh, how much they hate themselves and how bad they are, they say. Always depressed and self-pity. But I'll tell you, that's not true. Go to the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 28. Ephesians 5:28 says, so husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He loving his wife loves himself. Verse 29. For then no one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as also the Almighty, the congregation. No one ever hated his own flesh. There is no such thing as low self-esteem. Every single one of us esteems ourselves too high. We love ourselves too much. There is a thing as low confidence. We may not believe in our abilities to do something, which is low self-confidence, but none of us have low self-esteem. Every single human being, like it says in Ephesians here, we love ourselves too much. Because you want to know something? If you really had low self-esteem and didn't love yourself too much, when bad things happen to you, you'd be happy. The same way, watch the news and there's an evil creep out there who's out there murdering children. And we have what? Disdain. We have hate for that. It's wicked. Now what happens when he's caught? We're happy when he's caught. When he's sentenced to the death penalty, we're happy about that. Because he's getting what he deserves. Well, if we actually had low self-esteem, if we actually hated ourselves, we would be just as happy when bad things happened to us. Because we would actually be saying we're getting what we deserve. But that's not the case. The reason why we're dishappy, it's not because we have low self-esteem. It's because we love ourselves too much. It's because we're not getting all the things in life that we're wrongly coveting. And that's the reason why we're depressed. We're depressed because we love ourselves too much. And we want all these things that Yahweh may not think are good for us. That's the reason for depression. And like I said, guilt. The woe is me. The guilt. It stops us from being free. It stops us from being free. We go to Philippians 2. Philippians, the second chapter, starting in verse 1. We need to get our mind off of ourselves and on others. And that's the way that we're going to get this freedom. We've got to get our mind off of ourselves and our situation and off of this woe is me trip. Because you know something? For a world out there where there's 6 billion people in the world today, there's 50 billion or more people that have ever been on this earth. Maybe 100 billion. I don't even know what the number is. And Yahweh has called you. He has called you. It could be a stadium out there of 250,000 people, and your number just got picked. And there's nobody that has His Spirit that's been called out of this evil, wicked world that has the hope of eternal life and to be a king and a priest in the kingdom with Yeshua that should sit out there and say, woe is me. Brethren, we go through trials to purify us. We go through trials to get all the imperfections out. And we go through trials because Yahweh loves us. Like it says in the book of Hebrews, He chastises every child He loves. That's the reason we go through these things. But Philippians 2, this is what we need to do. The way to get your mind away from guilt is to serve others. Philippians 2, verse 1. Then if there is any comfort in the Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, fulfill my joy that you think the same, having the same love, one in soul, minding the one thing, doing nothing according to party spirit or self-glory, but in humility, esteeming one another to surpass themselves. Each not looking at their own things, but each also at the things of others. For let this mind being you that was also in Yeshua Messiah. Drop down to verse 21. For all seek their own things, not the things of Yeshua Messiah. It's so very true. That's the key. Get your mind off yourself. We need to be looking at each other as real family members, real brothers and sisters, and looking out for each other. Go to chapter 4 and verse 12, one page over. Chapter 4 and verse 12. It's Paul speaking again. But I know to be humbled, and I know to be abound. In everything and in all things I am taught both to be filled and to hunger, both to abound and to lack. I can do all things through the Messiah, the one giving me power. Do we feel that way? Do we feel that way? And I know in my life, I've had situations in my life where I had more material things, I knew what to do with them. And I had situations in my life where I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. And I can honestly relate to Paul here. I know what it is to be abound, and I know what it is to lack. And I can honestly say this. I can do all things through Yeshua who gives me the strength. Because I've come to a point that Yahweh has taken me through in my life that I realize I can do all things through Yeshua who gives me strength. I don't need to react in my own power anymore. I don't need to please other people, man. I don't need to do things so people see. Oh, look, Don's doing this. I honestly 100% believe this. I believe I can do all things through Yeshua who empowers me. And you know what? It keeps you humble. Because like it says in Romans, where is the boasting? Where is the boasting? I have nothing to boast about. I have nothing to say good about myself. Because I know who I am. I know the wickedness that's in this flesh. I know where I was and I know where Yahweh saved me out of. And I know that any good that has come out of these hands for the last almost 20 years that He's worked with me, praise Him and give Him every single inch of that glory. Because I realize if He didn't call me, I'd be lucky if I wasn't dead right now or in jail or who knows where. But I know one thing. I know if I would be still alive, I'd be on a one crash collision course with the lake of fire. I know that. I'm just so honored. And I am so awestruck. He picked me. And I believe His word. That when I repented and went under that baptism of water, that He forgave my sins. And I believe Him that when I slip and I fall through weakness, that He forgives me. And I honestly try to move on. I honestly try to move on. And that's what it's about. It's about serving each other. Getting your mind off yourself. See, we're living in such a selfish world. It's not about building my own life. We are living in such a world of covetousness that people don't even know it's covetousness. Never in the history of man can you walk down the street and just see store after store after store. It never was like this. For 6,000 years, it was never like this. And you know something? You could have 20 shirts in your closet, and you go and you buy a new one just because you saw it in the window and it didn't look good. We don't see that's coveting. It's coveting. John the Baptist said, if you have two shirts and your brother has none, give to him. That's what he told when he was preparing the way for Yeshua. See, he was preparing the way so for Yeshua's disciples. What did we have to do before we can become a disciple? And that's what he said. If you have two and your brother has none, give to him. If your brother hungers, share your food. This is what our calling is all about. It's not about fighting over doctrine. It's not about which organization you belong to. It's about what you do every day of your life. That's what I just told someone recently. Yahweh doesn't care what you belong to. He cares about what you do. He cares about what you're doing every day. You wake up and you have 16 hours in that day. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to live to yourself or are you going to live to others? We really have to start waking up. Let's go to Romans, the third chapter. Romans 3. And let's read about this new man that we're supposed to become. Because I want to read more about the freedom that comes from the blood of Yeshua. The freedom that comes when we accept the fact that our sins have been forgiven. And it's funny, some people, they won't accept the fact they have sinned. Some people have never repented. And others, they live so much in sin that they can't accept the fact that their sins are forgiven. It's one or the other. Either we don't want to admit we have the sin, or we don't want to accept the fact we're forgiven for it. We have to go to either side. Let's go to Romans 3, starting in verse 21. Romans 3, starting in verse 21. It says, but now a righteousness of Yahweh has been revealed apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of Yahweh through the faith of Yeshua Messiah toward all and upon all those believing. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh, just like I said, being justified as a free gift by His grace through the redemption in Yeshua Messiah, whom Elohim set forth as a propitiation through faith in His blood for a showing forth of His righteousness through the passing by of the sins that had taken place before in the forbearance of Yahweh. For the showing forth of His righteousness in the present time, for His being just and justifying Him, that is of the faith of Yeshua. Where is the boasting then? Like I said, it is excluded. Through what law? Of works? No, but through a law of faith. Then we conclude a man to be justified without works of law. Or is he the Elohim of Jews only and not also of the nations? Yea, also of the nations, since it is one Elohim who will justify circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Then do we make law void the law and make it no effect through faith? Let it not be, but we establish the law. See? Get one thing clear, like I said, all of us had that death penalty. No amount of law keeping or animal sacrifices or anything in the world was going to forgive those sins of what we already did. Only by faith in Yeshua. Shed blood. Now, what's the next spot? Now that you're clean? Well, now you have a decision. What are you going to do with that freedom? It's like someone coming out of prison, a prisoner. You know, he just did 15 years for killing somebody. Now he comes out of the prison. He paid his debt to society. He's completely free. Does he go back to the world and start killing people again? Or does he walk in newness of life? This is what Paul is saying here. So we don't make the law void by that faith. We establish the law. Now, through that forgiveness, now we go out in newness of life and we serve Yahweh by every single word out of His mouth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of the mouth of Yahweh. We serve in newness of life. We dedicate ourselves as slaves to Him. And we don't live to ourselves anymore. We are living sacrifices to serve Him day and night. Let's go to John 8. John the 8th chapter. Starting in verse 31. John 8, starting in verse 31. Yeshua said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you continue in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered Him, we are Abraham's seed, and we have been enslaved to no one, never. How do you say you will become free? Yeshua answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone practicing sin is a slave of sin. But the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Then if the son sets you free, you are free indeed." Do we believe that? Everyone practicing sin is a slave to sin. You are the slave to what you obey. Either righteousness to everlasting life or sin unto death. Yeshua came to free us from sin and death. What are we going to do with that new freedom? What are we going to do with it? You know, it makes, when you read these scriptures in context, it makes the whole law grace thing sound so silly. When you really think and look what Yeshua came to free us from. He didn't come to free us from righteousness. He didn't come to free us from law. He came to free us from sin and death. Sin is the thing that enslaves. And this is what I always say to people when they tell me the law's done away with them, I'm trying to explain. I say to them, show me one law in the Bible that there's ever a curse for obeying it. There are only curses for disobedience. There are only blessings for obedience. See, and that's the key here. The key, though, where is the weakness in the law? The weakness in the law is it can't change the heart. And just because you go 9 days without lying, you can't lie on the 10th day. A good act doesn't nullify a bad act. There's got to be a penalty paid for sin. And that's the weakness in the law, that you cannot keep it perfectly. Cursed is he who does not continue in all the things in the law. So what Yeshua came to do is, he came to cover those weaknesses. He came to die for those sins that we committed and the ones that we unwittingly commit now. And he's freed us. He's freed us from guilt. He's freed us from sin. And now we walk in newness of life. But do we serve him as a slave? Do we serve him as a slave every day? That is the key. See, and that's why I think many brethren are unhappy these days. Because it says in Corinthians, our life is bought and paid for. And now we are literally the slaves of Yahweh. And yet I think so many people are still living as slaves to the world. And you know, some things are outward. You know, if somebody is living in a sin, it could be alcoholism, adultery, it could be anything. And that's enslaving the person. But how many people, that's probably rare, although there's some people, but how many people, Russians, living as a slave to Babylon. They're living as a slave to worldliness and covetousness. And they're not happy. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And I know it's hard in a wicked world, but we still should have inner peace. Because we know that our sins are forgiven. And we know that Yeshua died once, and he's not coming to die again, but he's coming to return for us for salvation. We know there's such a great, awesome end to this story. And although we should be grieved because of the abominations going on in the earth, we should be so filled with joy inside of what our hope is. But if we're living to the world, you'll never feel that peace. You'll never feel that joy. And like it says right here in John, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Without belief, you will not get into the kingdom. Do we believe it? Go to 1 John 1. Let's go to 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John 1 and starting in verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous that he may forgive us the sins and may cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2. My little children, I write these things to you so you do not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua, Messiah, the righteous. And he is the propitiation relating to our sins, and not relating to ours only, but also relating to all the sins of the world. And by this we know that we have known him if we keep his commandments. If you look down to verse 12. Little children, I write to you because you have been forgiven your sins through his name. So that's the key. Like I said, some people, they suppress it. They don't want to admit the sins and repent. Other people just want to live in the sin. They don't want to admit. They want to live in guilt and feel sorry for themselves. And they don't want to admit that their sins can be forgiven. And John says opposite of both these things right here. He says, look, we're all sinners. If anyone out there says they're not a sinner, you're a liar. Because we're all sinners. But, here's the good news. Yeshua came already. He died for our sins. All we have to do is accept that and move on in newness of life. And we don't have to be bound by those sins anymore. We don't have to be bound by that anymore. But if we deny the fact that we're sinners, we make him into a liar. We have to repent and believe. Repent and believe. Let's go back to Hebrews 9. Let's go back to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. We'll read more here, starting in verse 24, going to verse 28. Hebrews 9, verse 24 through 28. It says, for the Messiah did not enter into the holies made by hands, types of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Yahweh on our behalf. Not that he often should offer himself, even as the high priest enters into the holy year by year with the blood of others, since he must often have suffered from the foundation of the world. But now once, at the completion of the ages, he has been manifested for putting away of sin through the sacrifice of himself. And as it is reserved to men once to die and after this judgment, so being once offered to bear the sins of many, the Messiah shall appear a second time without sin to those expecting him for salvation. Just as we've been saying all along. Just like I just read in John. See, when we sin, we have the holy advocate there. It's funny, in Greek, the word advocate means lawyer. That's really what Yeshua is. You know, when you go to court, what does a lawyer do? He defends you before the judge. Well, Yahweh the Father is the judge, and Yeshua is our holy advocate. And he's there to tell the Father, yes, this person is with me. His sins have been paid for by my blood. And when he comes back a second time, like I said, he's not going to die again for sins. He's coming to those that believe in his blood for the giving of salvation. Let's go to Romans 6. Go back to the book of Romans. Romans, the 6th chapter. And let's read about this new man. See, because like I said, Yeshua frees us. It's like a person that was in prison for 15 years. And now he comes out and yes, he's freed. He doesn't know anything else, the society, the prison, or nothing. He's totally free. But will he stay free? Will he stay free? If that murderer goes back to murdering again, he's going to end up right back in prison. Just like we just read in John 8. You are the servant of what you obey. If you're obeying sin, you are the slave of sin. If you're obeying Yeshua, you're the slave of Yeshua. Romans 6. I'm going to start in verse 6. Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, Yeshua, that the body of sin might be annulled, so that we no longer serve sin. For the one that died has been justified from sin. But if we died with the Messiah, we believe we also shall live with him. Knowing that the Messiah, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death is no longer lords over him. For in that he died to sin once for all. But in that he lives to Yahweh. So also you count yourself to be truly dead to sin, but alive to Yahweh in Yeshua Messiah, our Master. Therefore do not let sin rule over your mortal body, to obey it in its lust. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself to Yahweh as living from the dead, and your members instruments of righteousness to Yahweh. For your sin shall not master over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Let it not be. Do you not know to whom you yield yourself slaves to obedience? You are slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience to righteousness. But thanks be to Elohim that you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of teaching to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you were enslaved to righteousness. I speak as a man on account of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves to uncleanness and lawless act unto lawless act, so now yield your members as slaves to righteousness unto sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free as to righteousness. Therefore, what fruit did you have in the things which you now are ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. But now being set free from sin and being enslaved to Yahweh, you have your fruit unto sanctification and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is everlasting life in Yeshua Messiah our Master. And this is an awesome, awesome chapter here in chapter 6. And I want to put it into a little analogy to bring it all into perspective. What he's saying about being free from sin, the freedom that it brings. And just think of it this way. Paul said to Scripture, if Yeshua never rose from the dead and there is no resurrection, then let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die, right? What's the sense of it? Be honest with yourself. If there is no afterlife and this is the only life we have, then why on earth wouldn't we just worry about ourselves, try to get as many physical things as we can, live the greatest life we can, and then we die? Well, the answer is because we know that's not true. Because I believe 100% with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength that there is an afterlife. That there's an Elohim in heaven, his name is Yahweh, that he sent his son Yeshua to die for my sins, and that I'm not going to have to go to that death penalty for the things I've committed because I believe in his blood. But now, let's take the example of a drug addict. I'm a drug addict. Now, from that drug, being a drug addict, I'm stealing money to pay for my drugs. Well, if I couldn't be forgiven, if I already had the death penalty, right? Then why on earth would I ever stop doing drugs? Why would I stop stealing? What would be the difference? If I already have a death penalty on my head, why stop doing what I'm doing? If I'm an alcoholic, why should I stop that alcohol? Why should I refrain myself and show self-control over my body if I already have a death penalty? There's no reason to it. See, and that's why if you have not been forgiven and you're living in guilt, that is why you are the slave to sin. If you're living in guilt, you'll never overcome, because all guilt is, it's a lack of faith. You're not believing that Yeshua really died for your sins. And if you did, you wouldn't live in guilt. And if you're not truly believing, you'll do the same things over and over again because you're not believing in his promises. But here's the key. If you truly believe that Yeshua died for your sins, you're immersed in his name, you've repented of those sins, and you truly believe now, as you come up out of the water, that you're clean. Well, like I said, now you're free. But you still have free choice to what you do. Well, now, do I go back? And do I steal the money again to get my drugs? You know why I wouldn't do it? Because I've been freed from that. See, if I wasn't sure whether I was forgiven or not forgiven, if I'm not sure, am I going to get eternal life or won't I get eternal life? I'll go right back to the things I did before. I'll go right back to them because there's no surety, there's no faith in those promises of Yahweh. But if I believe it with 100% and I know Yahweh says, Don, I don't care what you did. I'm putting it from the east to the west. But I know one thing. If I have that faith that Yahweh forgave my sins, I better have the same faith that his word also says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. See, I can't only have faith in him for forgiveness. I gotta have faith in him for what he says happens if I break his law. So now that he's freed me, when the situation comes up again and Satan's saying, go out there, steal that money, do the drugs. No way. You know why? Because I'm free. See, now I have something to lose. Before I had nothing to lose. There's absolutely nothing to lose. It's like a guy out there, you know, you see one of these movies where a person could be all reckless and everything else. You know why? Because they have nothing to lose. If a person is young and he's unmarried and he doesn't have kids, that's why we make stupid mistakes in our teenage years, in our early 20s. Because we have nothing to lose. But now, once you learn from your mistakes, and now you have a wife, and now you have kids, and maybe you own a house, and you have a job, you have something to lose. So you're not going to go out there and risk everything you worked for. And it's the same way with Yahweh. While you're living in sin, while you haven't been forgiven, what do you got to lose? You're going to the lake of fire anyway. But now that you've repented, now when you've truly accepted grace in faith, and you honestly believe it, and you believe with all your heart that not only are your sins forgiven, but you believe all your heart that Yahweh's law stands forever. Well, now you have something to lose. You have your eternal life. So when that decision comes up, should I go out and steal? Should I take the drugs? Should I do whatever it is? You won't do it. You know why? Because you've been set free. And that's all you have to say. When Satan tempts you to do something, Get thee behind me, Satan. I've been set free. I've been set free. Doesn't mean you're never going to sin again. We just read that in John. But what it means is you don't have to be the servant of any sin. You don't have to be a slave of the sin. You don't have to live in the sin because you've been set free. And it's never too late. It's never too late. If you're a backslidden believer, and whatever happened, you've been backslidden, you did something, whatever, it doesn't matter. Get on your hands and knees today, repent and believe with all your heart that Yahweh sent His Son down to earth to die for your sins, and then turn from those sins. Like I said, not one case, it didn't matter if it was a prostitute, a tax collector, it didn't matter what it was, not one case did Yeshua ever turn a sinner away. Say, your sins are too bad, I can't forgive them. In every case, He showed mercy. In every case, He forgave. And in every case, He said, go and sin no more. Because once you're set free, and then you freely, of your own free will, go to choose to go back to that life of sin, and do it as a pattern, and you become a slave of that sin, Yahweh help you. Yahweh help you. Because now you're choosing death over life. You're choosing that. And there's no reason why. If Yeshua said He set us free from sin, then we got to believe it. We got to believe it because everything He said is true. Every single thing He said is true. Let's go to Romans 8. Romans the 8th chapter. A little bit more of the same subject. Starting in verse 6. Romans 8 and verse 6. It says, for the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because of this, the mind of the flesh is enmity, hatred toward Yahweh. It is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. And those being in the flesh are not able to please Yahweh. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. But if anyone has not the Spirit of the Messiah, this one is not his. But if the Messiah is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of the one having raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, the one having raised the Messiah from the dead will also make your mortal bodies live through the indwelling of the Spirit in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to flesh. For if you live according to flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. Like I said, you don't have to do it anymore. You're free. Tell the devil, command him in the name of Yeshua, get thee behind me, Satan. I am free from you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, these are sons of Yahweh. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by which we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, literally Daddy. The Spirit Himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of Yahweh. And if children, also heirs, truly heirs of Yahweh and joint heirs of the Messiah, if indeed we suffer together, that we may also be glorified together. That's what's powerful. It's powerful that through the Spirit we can put to death the deeds of the flesh if you only believe. If you only believe. And like I said, we it's our choice. We can't choose death over life. And you know a key to it too? We go to John, the 13th chapter. John 13, in verse 34 and 35. John 13, 34 and 35. I give a new commandment to you that you should love one another. According as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, all shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It is so important of overcoming sin and becoming that new person we're reading about in Romans 6 and Romans 8. By having the love of Yeshua. And you know, like I said, it's interesting in a time where there's so much disarray, there's so much heresy, there's so much lack of unity in the body. But not once in the whole Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, will you ever see, by this all men will know you're my disciples if you keep the calendar correctly. By this all men will know you're my disciples if you know how to pronounce my name the right way. By this all men will know you're my disciples if you know all the prophetic happenings of the end time. Only one thing he said. By this all men will know you're my disciples if you have loved one for another. And believe me as someone who has went around the world, who knows brethren in just about every country in the world, People will know you by your love way more than by your words. A good deed, a hug to somebody that needs it, will go much further than trying to shove doctrine down somebody's throat. Doesn't mean doctrine's not important. Because our doctrine is Yeshua's doctrine. And we should. We should be grounded in truth and grounded in what we believe. But at the same rate, let's back it up with our actions. Let's back it up with our love. There is so little love in the body today. You know, when I keep looking at that 144,000, I say to myself, man, is there 144,000 on this earth that have love? Is there? You see it so little in the world today. But that's the thing to overcoming. That's the thing that Yeshua says. And let's go back to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Because, brethren, when we're weak, when we hit times of weakness, when we hit times of trial, when we hit times of temptation, that's the time when we have to put our pride aside and we have to get on our hands and knees and cry out and plead to Yeshua. He's the only one that can help us in those times of weakness. Hebrews 4, verse 14. It says, therefore, having a great high priest, Hebrews 4, verse 14, therefore, having a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, let us hold fast the confession, for we do not have a high priest not being able to sympathize with our infirmities, but one having been tried in all aspects, according to our likeness, apart from sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and we may find grace for help in the time of need. And have you ever wondered why Yeshua came to earth as a man? Why couldn't him and Yahweh figure out a different plan? Why did he have to come as a man? Why did he have to suffer? Why did he have to live 33 years and suffer the way he did? Well, I'll tell you why. Because like I was saying at the beginning of this, I can see poor people in Kenya or Nigeria. I can feel bad for them. I can sympathize with them. I can watch it on TV. I could actually stand there before them. I could even give them food. But you know something? I can't empathize with them. I can sympathize. I can feel bad for them. But I can't empathize. I can't know what they're going through. Because I never went through that. Or a black person that maybe has been discriminated with his whole life. You know, because he's in a school where there's only a handful of black people and all white people. And how does that feel? To be discriminated against everybody you're with? I don't know. I've never been in that situation. I could feel bad. I could pray. I could try to help. But I can't empathize. I can't know exactly what he's going through. We have a high priest who can empathize with us. We have a high priest, Yeshua, who went through every point. What are you going through? You're going through loneliness? You're going through sorrow? What do you think it felt like to handpick 12 men that you were with for several years, that were your best friends, that you did everything for, that looked up to you, that you loved with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and one of them actually betrays you to the officials to have you arrested, and the other 11 run like scattered mice as quick as they can get away? You don't think he knows loneliness? What does it say in Isaiah 53? A man of sorrows. You know, I had the blessing of being able to read the Jerusalem Talmud and talks of stories when Yeshua was younger. Even his parents didn't believe in him. His brothers didn't believe in him. His sisters didn't believe in him. And we read that from the Gospels. How they mocked him. You know, hey, you should be doing this. You should be doing that. And it wasn't until later that they came to be believers. We have a high priest that knows what it's like to be mocked, to be scorned, to be rejected, to go through suffering and pain. There's nothing you are going through that he didn't go through. And that's what he says. Come to him. When you're feeling weakness, when you're feeling temptation, get on your hands and knees. Come to him in your time of need. Let's go to Hebrews 2, Hebrews the 2nd chapter. Read one more scripture on this. Be ending up here soon. Hebrews 10 and verse 10. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. Hebrews 2 and verse 10 says, For it was fitting for him, Yeshua, because of whom are all things and through whom are all things, bringing many sons to glory to perfect them as the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he sanctifying and the one being sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will announce your name to my brothers. I will sing to you in the midst of the congregation. And again, I will be trusting on him. And again, behold, I and the children whom Elohim gave to me. Since then the children have partaken of flesh and blood, in like manner he himself also shared the same things, that through death he might cause to cease the one having the power of death, that is the devil, and might set these free, as many as by fear of death were subject to slavery through all the time to live. For indeed he does not take hold of cherubs, but he takes hold of the seed of Abraham. Therefore he ought by all means to become like his brothers, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things respecting to Yahweh, in order to make propitiation for the sins of his people. For in what he has suffered being tried, he is able to help those having been tried. See, he went through everything so that he could know exactly what we're going through. And like I said, we have a high priest that we can go to that knows these things. But you've got to believe in such a faithless society, in a time where people trust in money and jobs, and it's not about who you are, it's about what you do. If you don't have some kind of prestigious position, the world makes you feel like you're nothing. In this time where there's so little faith, we have to believe these things. I want to close up at Hebrews, the third chapter. I want to go to Hebrews 3, starting in verse 13. Hebrews 3, and starting in verse 13. It says, but exhort yourselves each day, as long as it is being called today, that not any of you be hardened by the deceit of sin. For we have become sharers of the Messiah if truly we hold the beginning of the assurance firm to the end. Drop down to verse 18. To whom did he swear they should not enter his rest except to those not obeying? And we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Therefore let us fear, lest perhaps a promise being left to enter into his rest, any of you might seem to come short. For indeed, we have had the gospel preached to us, even as they also. But the word did not profit those hearing, not having been mixed with faith in the ones who heard. You know, brothers, this is a scary thing. But I want to warn you before I leave. Be careful of the deceit of sin and the hardness that it brings. Because you know what happens? It's like a little child that was told, Johnny, don't touch that button on the stove. And he never goes near it. Johnny, don't touch that button on the stove. Never goes near it. You know, one day, mommy and daddy aren't there. He's looking around. And he touches that button. And you know what? The stove doesn't blow up. Then the next time he touches it more, and the next time he's inside, it's human nature. And when we get involved, and if you're practicing sin, and you're not repenting of it, and all of a sudden, you know, you haven't been struck down by lightning, be very careful. Be very careful of the deceitfulness of the hardness of sin, because it will kill you. Physically it will, and spiritually it will. We have to cherish. We have to just so much cherish the freedom that Yeshua gave us. You know, I've never been an alcoholic or a drug addict or anything like that. I've never had a thing where I was addicted to like that. So it's the same thing. I can sympathize with people who were drug addicts or people who were alcoholics, but I can't really empathize with them because I never did that. And I know it's hard for people like that. I know it's hard when you're addicted to something. Sometimes like nicotine, cigarettes, your body just craves it. And it's a hard thing to get rid of. But there is nothing that Yeshua can't help with. You don't know how many people who were cigarette smokers who have talked to me and said, you know something? I tried over and over and over to quit, and I couldn't. And I became a believer, I was baptized, I left it up to Yeshua, and I never went back to another cigarette. See, we can overcome sin. We can be freed because Yeshua said it. He not only came down to pay the penalty for past sins, he came down to free us so we don't have to live in sin. And like I said, now that we're free, are we going to go back to the sinful life, or are we going to walk in newness of life to serve Him? We have to through faith. Faith is the only avenue that you have to be so convicted that what I'm saying today is true. You have to be so convicted that Yeshua is the Son of Yahweh. Today, boy, you're getting people with all kinds of doubts to that. You have to be convicted 100% and never waver. The Yahweh has a Son, and He sent that Son. He's the messenger of Yahweh, and He came down to die for your sins. And that now that He forgave you your sins, now that you're walking in newness of life, now that you're out of that waters of baptism, clean and white, you still have free choice. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with that freedom? You know, it's like, think of a slave in the ancient times. You know, they were slaves for how many years? 6 years, and then they were let free. What did they do with that freedom once they were let free? Are we going to use that freedom to serve Yahweh? Or are we going to use that freedom to serve sin? And what I say to the true people of Yahweh, rejoice, rejoice, because Yeshua has freed you from sin and death. And like I said, I've read the book. Read the last chapter. We win. He's coming back. He's coming back shortly, and He's coming back with His cherubs, and He's coming back with His reward. Revelation 5:10. We will be kings and priests with Him in His kingdom, and we will reign with Him as kings and priests over the world from Jerusalem. Amen. Amen to that. And just remember, whatever you're going through, you have a high priest that went through all these things. Go to Him in your time of need.